The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, exploring the human endeavor.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Hi, it's Patrick Cox here. And for many of us who work in audio, we have an ambivalent attitude to the written word. Or I do anyway. For example, I'm uncomfortable sometimes turning what I do in this podcast or on the radio into something that you read. I mean, if I'm doing my job right as someone who speaks, someone who engages with you listening, then I shouldn't have anything to do with words that you see on the page. But there is the internet, and the big search engines, they love text. They don't recognize speech, or rather, they can only recognize speech if it can be transcribed. Now, consider this startling fact. For a very long time, before there was internet, I know, it's difficult to imagine what life was like in those dark days. Just imagine that everyone was speaking Shakespearean English. But anyway, in those days before the internet, there was mass transmission of speech. Radio had been around for a long time, for decades. And unless someone, somewhere, wrote down the words that were being spoken or shouted or sung on the radio, most of them, they as good as vanished. If they were lucky, they made it into some archive. An archive that, if it's still around today, well, you have to call it dusty. Now, just think, if we could blow off the dust and figure out what's in the archive. Stuff like this, maybe. Maya Angelou and Studs Terkel in 1970, speaking on WFMT Chicago.
The moon was there.
That's right.
There was a spiritual at the same time the blues quality.
Mm-hmm.
Both were there.
There was one long meter that went, bread of heaven, feed me till I want more bread of heaven.
Now, as it happens, that piece of audio made a public comeback after Maya Angelou died last year. The LA Times posted a link to it that, if you followed it, you could hear, in fact, the whole interview, nearly an hour long. And here's the best part of it. There's a running transcription to the interview that you can scroll through. And at any time, you can just click on one of the words and listen to the audio at that point. That's scary for the likes of me, maybe, to see words, spoken words, written down in that way. But it's incredibly useful for everyone else. Because, of course, with transcription, you can search something. Imagine that everything that has ever been broadcast and archived, imagine that there was a piece of voice recognition software that could accurately read and transcribe all that audio. Might be a bit of a breakthrough. Well, there are people who are working on this, trying to figure out how a computer program can interpret the spoken word in its many diverse forms and render it into the written word. If you haven't heard of Pop-Up Archive, you may do soon. Caroline Lewis, she got to know the people who run Pop-Up Archive. Here's what she found out.
The few times I've used speech recognition technology, I've just ended up arguing with my smartphone in public. But the team at Pop-Up Archive is more ambitious. The website uses speech recognition to automatically transcribe and tag large batches of audio so that users can search for people and topics within the recordings. Like right now, if I go on Pop-Up Archive and search boycott, for instance, I get a list of radio segments and speeches that span more than 50 years.
We declare our right on this earth.
They covered the Montgomery bus boycotts during the Civil Rights Movement.
Which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And more recent boycotts of the private Google buses that shuttle employees to work from San Francisco.
Where is the justice? Where is your Googliness?
If I click a line in the transcript, it jumps to that part of the audio.
Individual tech executives being targeted, and they've been artistic.
Ann Wooten, one of the founders of Pop-Up Archive, says speech recognition technology is the bridge we need between text-based search engines and the mountains of audio and video content we're creating.
We've never been able to search within audio or video before, and so it's not an expectation that users have, but the potential is vast, and many people recognize that.
Other startups have caught on, and now there's a variety of tools out there that you can use to generate these interactive transcripts for your media. The clickable text has even started popping up on some YouTube videos. But part of the reason people aren't racing to use this new technology is that speech recognition software still doesn't quite catch everything you're saying, so the transcripts aren't totally accurate. On Pop-Up Archive, the results are still hit or miss, and that can make searching more difficult. Users can edit their transcripts if there are mistakes, but not everyone wants to bother with that. That's why Wooten and her team are determined to make their speech recognition software better. When we meet, she's eager to show off how rapidly the site's software is improving. She plays me a newscast.
From NPR News, Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Russia says Ukrainian military
this is a comparison of what we call basic and premium transcripts.
Wooten assures me she wasn't always a speech software enthusiast. This project came her way when she was doing an internship during grad school. She found her inspiration in the San Francisco studio of a popular public radio duo.
The Kitchen Sisters and KQED are launching a new series, The Making of.
My name's Nikki Silva, and along with my radio partner, Davian Nelson, we call ourselves The Kitchen Sisters. We started in 1979 using a cassette tape recorder, and we did that for years.
What do you do while you're driving? Do you listen to the radio or sing or anything?
While I'm driving, I'm always looking for trouble. My eyes wander.
We were doing oral histories in central coastal California, and a lot of those folks have long gone, and they were involved in things like ranching and rodeo and farming and fishing and all these things that kind of are no longer how things are done in that area.
When the Kitchen Sisters started doing their Lost and Found sound series, they graduated to DATS, digital audio tapes. Today they have audio in every format imaginable, from records and reels to CDs and hard drives.
The first words I spoke in the original phonograph.
We have kind of what we call an accidental archive. We never set out thinking that we were going to amass the amount of material that we did.
The team at Pop-Up Archive set out on a mission to turn this accidental archive into a searchable, accessible online library open to the public. Soon they realized the Kitchen Sisters weren't the only ones trying to solve this problem.
We've got almost 100 years worth of stuff on shelves.
This is Rob Cooper of the BBC. If you didn't quite make out what he said, it was this. We've got almost 100 years worth of stuff on the shelves. Cooper says they've already digitized a lot of their TV shows, global newscasts, and radio dramas, but they're not searchable.
They still sit on the digital equivalent of a dusty shelf because although they're much more easily available, finding the interesting stuff in there, the good stuff, is the really challenging problem.
To solve that problem and make their vast media library easier to navigate, the BBC research and development team has been working on their own solution, Comma. It uses speech-to-text software in much the same way as Pop-Up Archive. In the U.S., Pop-Up Archive has found a partner in the nonprofit Public Radio Exchange, or PRX, and that's attracted the support of foundations. They've also been raising millions of dollars through private investors. Many people seem to think that this technology is the future. Now the only thing left to do is make it work. Here's Ann Wooten again.
Speech to text has been around for a long time, but I think it's always kind of under-delivered. It's not perfect, but there's a difference between perfect and readable. And then there's certainly a difference between perfect and searchable.
Coming up, we continue our series on life after prison.
I'm in Pop-Up Archive, and I'm looking at one specific episode of a news show.
A group of public radio journalists from the San Francisco Bay Area are serving as the site's beta testers. They're looking for transcripts of their shows and interviews that are as close to perfect as possible.
So if I wanted to edit, like, yeah, I could just push the button and, like, double-check.
This is reporter Ashley Ann Craigbaum. She and others are huddled in Pop-Up Archive's one-room office across the bay in Oakland. They're testing out a new premium version of the site's speech recognition software. Craigbaum says it still struggles with certain proper names, like the name of her show, Cross Currents.
It's like this first he sealed big news, that's not correct.
From KDLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents.
I want to teach it the word cross currents because it's having a hard time.
Cross tourist.
Yeah.
When there's music on.
But Craigbaum sees far fewer mistakes than she did using the old software. She asks Ann Wooten about it.
So what's happening with the new software?
So the old software used a really big vocabulary. It was really general. basically use the entire internet as its vocabulary. So that's why you would see stuff like Rihanna and like HTC Galaxy or whatever else. That's what the internet talks about. And this software is more specific, and it's particularly tailored to broadcast news.
Wooten explains that the software understands the language these public radio journalists are speaking. Sure, they speak English on public radio, but it's a different English than, say, the English spoken on the BBC, where a different set of words and people make their way into the news. So how does software learn to understand what they're talking about on public radio? Pretty much the same way a person does, by listening to a lot of it. The Pop-Up Archive team feeds their software tons of content that's similar to what their users will be uploading. That way, the software can determine the probability that a series of words will appear next to each other in a particular order. Wooten says Pop-Up Archive is working on creating different versions of the software for different topics, like sports and pop culture, and even for different time periods.
Like, we've worked on a 1980s model that's, like, uniquely tailored to the vocabulary of the 1980s, whatever that is.
Does Pop-Up Archive just know if you upload something from the 80s that it should use that model?
Not yet, but soon.
That could be a big turning point for the company. Right now, they're focused on helping organizations with big projects, like the Studs Terkel Archive they're creating with the Chicago History Museum. But in the future, they want the site to work well enough on its own to become popular with independent media makers and archivists. Bits and pieces of the Kitchen Sisters Accidental Archive are already uploaded, transcribed, and tagged on Pop-Up Archive, but much of it is still stowed away in their studio, out of reach. Kitchen Sister Nikki Silva agrees the technology hasn't been perfected yet, but she says she's just glad someone's working on it.
It's exciting what they're doing, and also it's a relief because to be sort of trying to imagine ways to save this digital material and access it for the historical record is really, really important.
When I mention I'm doing a story on speech recognition technology, people tend to recall the same thing I did at first: failed attempts to communicate verbally with their smartphones. But I have a confession to make. Those frustrating conversations I had with my phone, those happened a couple of years back. After listening to Wooten talk about how much the technology is improving, I decided to give my relatively new Android another chance. And I have to say, I was impressed. No more repeating the same word over and over, and now even when I mumble, my phone picks out the right phrase to search on the first try. It turns out these days we understand each other pretty well. Most of the time. For The World in Words, I'm Caroline Lewis.
Caroline Lewis is a freelance reporter based in New York City. And making words searchable seems like a sensible thing, unless you're a politician with a habit of putting your foot in it, which is something that Cristina Fernandez has been doing recently. She is president of Argentina. She's been in a ton of trouble for reasons that have actually nothing to do with words, a scandal involving the apparent murder of a prosecutor that I'm not going to go into here. Suffice to say, it's a wild story, and it's kind of the backdrop to, well, everything she does right now. And last week, she added to her troubles with a few damning words. She was in Beijing drumming up support for trade deals with Argentina, really big deals that she needs the Chinese government to sign off on things like rice and petroleum. So what does she do? She posts a tweet mocking the way some Chinese supposedly pronounce their R's, as in lice for rice and petroleum. I can't even say it, for petroleum. We decided to ask Chinese translator Joanna C. Lee to weigh in on this incident. The Big Show's Marco Werman is asking the questions.
This has got to be a pretty serious faux pas in China, Joanna. What crosses your mind?
I always think to myself, hey, you try and speak some Chinese without an accent and don't get any, please don't ever get mixed up with the nine tones of Cantonese. How about that?
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a good comeback. Why would a head of state mock another country in such a tactless way during a presidential trip?
I really cannot even imagine what came through her mind when she posted it. But I did read clearly that she did, you know, posted a very short apology after people in Argentina, I mean, her own constituents really, you know, created a huge uproar. Funnily enough, I was actually looking at how the Chinese were reporting it, and that's interesting. Chinese official media, nothing.
And the Chinese are reacting to these tweets with other posts on social media. What have they been saying?
Well, for example, is that some of them don't think that it's even any sort of racial discrimination. And various people say, you know, yes, please, Mrs. President, Madam President, please, you try and speak some Chinese to us. And then there are some people who are, I say, rather cocky in their response and saying that, you know, Argentina isn't a very big country.
I mean, we're surprised about this issue, confusing the R and the L, because Americans, shall we say, have evolved on this front. Is this really about Cristina Fernandez, who's out of touch, or is all of Argentina kind of stuck somewhere in the 1940s?
I have no idea. It's a little bit strange because, first of all, the mixing of R's and L's, as well as many other types of linguistic problems of various, you know, what shall I call this, various people, various countries, various nations, they all vary. So it just sort of makes no sense that she's picking out something like this now, which clearly seemed to come out of some strange sitcom from the 1950s in America. And so that's a little bit sad. That's the first thing. But the second one is that she is tweeting in Spanish, and then this is reported in English media about that. And that's really how it kind of blew up in the media world. And so the idea of the rice and the petroleum, I guess it really somewhere along the line sounded like lice and petroleum, but it's a little bit difficult to actually figure out what actually happened then right there. She apparently was attending a huge business conference with thousands of people.
It's almost like she's watched too many Charlie Chan movies. Is there any basis for the idea that native Chinese speakers have trouble pronouncing L's and R's?
Actually, not anymore. I have to say, they have a thick accent, but then any country would have thick accents. But the R's and the L's have now actually since improved, shall we say.
Yeah.
Think of, you know, considering that we just have a huge Asian American family, you know, comedy, sitcom. That
fresh
just
off the boat?
Fresh off the boat.
Yeah,
they certainly didn't mix any of that.
Okay. I saw it and I thought it was pretty good. So next time Cristina Fernandez goes to China, do you have a short list of do's and don'ts to be respectful to your host when you're there?
Ah, please just follow or at least be aware of their sensitivities. Language is one. The other one is food. I mean, I travel a lot with a lot of foreign guests going into China. And the thing is, even if they don't like to eat something, be aware and acknowledge the feelings of your host, who clearly, you know, do their very best to make sure that you have the best culinary experience. Just eat something, even if it's just a bite. Eat it.
Yeah.
And so whenever one visits a foreign country, I'd say the first thing is don't tweet.
That's a great laugh. We need more of Joanna C. Lee in the pod. And that's it for this time. We have more, including pop-up archive photos and links, at pri.org/language. You can also get there via the World in Words page on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. My handle is Patricox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. And don't forget, there are lots more great podcasts at samworks.org. I'll see you next time.
The World in Words is made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor. The World in Words is also supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.